Bibles, if you would, this morning. I'm going to be on this wireless as soon as I turn it on, gentlemen. All right, how's that? You got me? Can I move this one?
Breaker 1-9.
You want another switch?
Hot diggity. I went green then. Everybody needs to go green when they're using a microphone, right? Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke, if you would. Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke chapter 19. I think you guys got too much on my feedback up here. I want them to hear me. I don't need to hear me. Amen. Luke chapter 19, if you would. There's a story here. And by the way, this is a recorded history. Sometimes when we use the word story, folks believe that the Bible is just a bunch of fairy tales, but this book records history, prophecy. It tells the truth. It tells the truth on some folks that wouldn't tell the truth on themselves, but it tells the truth on them. Amen. It's got the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it has the great. It has the good and the holy. You know, the Bible is a book that contains the mind of Christ. Everything that he thought we could contain, he put it in Scripture so that we could have at it. You know, he wouldn't give us a book that he didn't think that we could learn and consume. I've heard so many preachers say that we have this book and that we could never learn all of it. You know, I don't know that there's anybody that set out to learn everything. I believe if we had a desire to consume and to have the mind of Christ, God would not tell us to do something that we couldn't do. And so this book is a powerful book, and the story is of a life of a man who's a tax collector. Zacchaeus, the Bible's going to use the terminology, he was small of stature. Sometimes, you know, I know even my dad, you know, I was just talking to someone yesterday, was mentioning about how, you know, when we're not as tall as other folks, you know, we had Brett here, and again, there just wasn't nobody around here that was as tall as him, you know. Short is a relative term. It's relative to whoever is taller than you standing around there, amen? And so it's just one of those things. There's always, you know, we're always talked about there's somebody bigger, right? But in the Scripture, we know that there are folks that are extremely tall and others who are a little bit shorter. But this guy, the Bible only tells us that to give us a detail because he sought after Jesus. And when he was trying to find Jesus, he couldn't come to him because Jesus oftentimes throughout the Scripture wasn't just traveling with his and his 12 disciples. If we're not careful, sometimes we think that Jesus was just walking around with 12 guys, but oftentimes the 12 guys were like bodyguards trying to keep the press of people off of him. Because he was a man of miracles. He was a man that would preach, and his words had power and would change people's lives. They would say, after they heard him preach, they would say, I've never heard it like this before. He speaks the words of God with power. Do you know holiness does that? You know, when someone is holy and they preach something that's God's word, and again, I'm just going to say, how do we get holy in this age? I mean, plain and simple is salvation. But the part that really empowers and gives a person power because they're holy is the Holy Spirit of God coming to live within the believer. Here we see the Lord Jesus, and he comes to Jericho. In verse number 1, look at it with me, and we'll read through the passage, and then we'll get to preaching. But before I begin reading, let's ask God to help us today as we meet together and open his word. Dear Lord, we pray that you'd be with us this morning. Lord, I know that young people all over the property are already hearing about you. And Lord, I pray that those that have never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you'd save them. But God, I pray that you wouldn't just save them only, but I pray you'd save the teenagers, Lord, that'll hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. Maybe some who have rejected in the past and some that have never heard. God, in the auditorium here with mom and daddies, grandpops and grandmoms, Lord, young people that are here, young adults, Lord, that are across this place. I pray if there is someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that just as Zacchaeus turned to Jesus Christ and accepted him, Lord, that folks in this building would hear the preaching of God's word and that they would hear and believe on his name, and they trust him for salvation. I ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. In verse number 1, the Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." I don't know if you've ever contemplated that passage of Scripture. If you're a Christian, you've read through here. He says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Do you know that everybody has to, there's a lot of people who know of Jesus and what he did, but it's not until you know who he is that he will change your life. He says here, "and could not for the press." It just is telling us there was a crowd of people that pressed upon Jesus, and Zacchaeus could not get to Jesus. Because he was of little stature, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Isn't that something, bunch of Pharisees? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I have given to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Look at verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I don't know if you understand this morning who he was. Jesus was a man on a mission to come and to save everybody who was lost. There were people that wanted him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They wanted him to rule and reign in his first coming. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That same Jesus walked through the streets of Nazareth and through the streets of Capernaum and through the streets, of Jerusalem. And over and over and over again, his mission never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same saving power, the same mission that Jesus was on all those years ago, he's still on today. Today, he walks through Haines City. He's walking through the fellowship hall right now. He's walking through and up and down the aisles of this church this morning, seeking to save that which is lost. Anybody that would receive him joyfully, just like old Zacchaeus did that morning, he'll save them, just like he saved Zacchaeus that day when he received him joyfully. You say, how do you know? He just took him in his house. I'm going to tell you, it changed his life. Like, I don't know about you, but I mean, when I see this, I thought to myself, he's coming into Jericho. You know, and I was a little boy, and I sang, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he," you know. And he did what? He climbed up in a... That's Bible. I didn't realize how much Bible I was learning when I learned that song. Right? And he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Now, be careful now, preacher, right? He climbed up in the sycamore tree. Now, you say, "Preacher... but if I was short and I couldn't see Jesus when he come by, he was trying to see who he was." We got to move these guys. Anyway, so he could have killed a preacher with these microphones. Anyway, so he's standing up as high as he can get. Right? And a sycamore tree ain't much more than a scrub brush tree. But you see, the God of Israel had come by that way before. See, Jericho was a place that used to have great big walls and have houses all up in the walls. And see, in most cities, you could just climb and you'd climb up the steps of a little houseway or some cubbyhole. But see, in that place, there stood no walls. They stood no walls because the God of Israel laid them flat for his people. Remember, see, they just walked around 7 times. You know, that city was a tithe unto God. That city was the first of 10 major cities that would be conquered in that land. And God went in there and he said, "This city's mine." See, they weren't allowed to take any gold or any of the spoil because God, listen, they didn't have to do any work. God took the city for them. He laid the walls down after they were obedient. You know, for us, I found this to be true in my life. You thought I was going down. But when those people came down out of the city, I can imagine you've got all these, Rahab and all these people that were saved from that city. You know, we don't ever talk about the ones that lost their lives. We don't ever talk about the ones that didn't make it. We talk about the ones that God saved miraculously. We think about how even that one that was saved is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they died. Now, Jesus walked through that city. You don't think he knew what he was doing there? He was there to seek and save what that was lost. If you're not careful today, you know what you came in with today? You came in the church house today. You came into the church house today with all your cares and your worries. All the things that are going on and surrounding you, and it's hard for you to listen to what Jesus has done for you and that Jesus is here, because you're caught up with all the things that'll be after and all the things that are coming and all the things that are going on. And this is what happened. I just want you to be reminded of this. Jesus walks into this place, and his 12 disciples are doing the best they can to keep people off of him. And old Zacchaeus, he ran. He said, I can't see him right here. I can't get near him right here. But he ran over here, got ahead of the crowd, because Jesus was going to pass by that way. And then he got up. Don't worry, I'm not going to walk on pews. Y'all, listen, it's one thing if I fall up there. If I fall on you, it's in trouble, right? It's bad. Listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, he got up and got up where he could see Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I think it was just kind of one of those days where Jesus is walking through the streets, and I don't know if he's preaching or he's just watching, he's talking, but he is there to seek and to save that which lost. And a lost man was up a tree. Hey, I don't know, but where I come from, we try to tree things. I mean, we hunt all kinds of stuff, and once it's treed, we got it. Amen? Jesus is walking through there, and he's a good hunter. He's seeking and saving that which was lost. And he comes up and hears a tax collector treed. He said, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. Now, we don't necessarily shoot everything we tree right off the bat. Sometimes we poke it with a stick. And if I treed a tax collector, I think I'd poke him with a stick. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? Jesus knew his name. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus stops and says, he says, Zacchaeus, you come down. Do you know, I'd have fell out of the tree right there. I said, he knows my name. Do you know when Jesus hung on the cross between heaven and earth and he gave up the ghost and he gave his life up? They didn't kill him. He laid down his life so that you could live. He gave his lifeblood that you might have life and have it more abundantly, the Bible says. And just as that day he was seeking and saving, listen, on the cross, I know he looked through the animals' times and he said, I see Barry's going to come to Christ. And if you're saved today, he looked through the annals of time and he thought of you and how he was dying for you and how you were going to receive him. And listen, before he went to the cross, he saw Zacchaeus up a tree. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down. We got business. You don't need to be up the tree hanging like that. Come, I'll go home with you today. And he came down and received him with joy. Now, like I said, I don't know if he comes stumbling down like I did. I don't know if he just slid down like a fire pole or what he did, but I think he come running to Jesus. You know, in the once thick press that wouldn't allow him close to Jesus. When Jesus called, it broke. Do you know you came to church today and sometimes I believe some folks have gone to church and they've sought how to be saved. They wanted to find a way, and sometimes they found a place maybe that told them about works, but works isn't the way. When you work, you just felt like you were pressing and pressing. You're always getting close, but you weren't quite there. Some of you tried all kinds of different religious acts to get there, but there's nothing that can get you to heaven except for Jesus. The Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by him. See, Zacchaeus found out that day he couldn't climb a tree to heaven. See, he was just trying to seek and see who Jesus was. But Jesus knew who he was all the time. You see, I was in church just like you. Many of you, I don't know whether you've been in church your whole life or maybe this is the first Sunday you ever showed up. But for me, I heard the gospel preached. And I knew who Jesus was, but I wasn't seeking him. The day that he saved me, he sought me out. He called me out. I was sitting in the pew just like you're sitting there today, and inside my soul, I heard Jesus say, Barry, you can get saved today if you just receive me, if you just come down, if you just leave the place that you're trying to hang on to or your own holiness, your own, listen, I could have gone through the list of things that I was hanging on to that I thought my mom and daddy were good church members. My daddy was a deacon. I thought I had all this, you know, heritage that was going to lead me into heaven. But when Jesus called me, I realized it was a personal relationship. It didn't matter who my dad was. I just want you to notice in the scripture, he didn't say, Zacchaeus, come down because your daddy saved. See, Zacchaeus, you come down because your dad was a good person. Zacchaeus, you come down because your mama was good. Zacchaeus, come down because of this or that. No, Zacchaeus, you come down because I am coming to your house today. Listen, now Jesus didn't come physically to my house like he did Zacchaeus. He came into this house, this tabernacle. He came in and I received him joyfully that day. Do you know, I read the scripture. I think this is so neat. When I was looking through there, I thought, man, what a... You know, the group that is surrounding him, not just in the press, but I see the conversion as that he receives Jesus. But look what it says next. We see in verse number 7, it says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. Listen, you're sitting here thinking, if Jesus knew who I was, he wouldn't go home with me. If Jesus knew what I have done, he wouldn't save me. If Jesus knew how far, listen, I'm here to tell you, he knows who you are. He's the creator God. He made you. And he wants to save you. He's seeking to save. He knew who he was talking to that day to Zacchaeus. He knew that was a sinner. He knew that was a tax collector that hadn't just took money that was fair. He took money he shouldn't have had. Zacchaeus goes, listen, Lord, after he gets saved, after his conversion, they're saying, look at that. Jesus is going home with a sinner. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, listen, do you know what happened when Jesus went home with me? I'm a sinner, but a saved by grace. You know, we see not only the conversion, but then we get to see this old sinner, his change. Do you know what happens to people to get saved? They change. Do you know there are people that don't change, and I wonder about them. You know, they claim Jesus, but if Jesus gets inside of you, it ought to make a change. You say, what do you mean kind of change? Well, look what it did to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't just, I mean, listen, this was, he's described in two different ways in prior scripture that he's not so tall, right? He's of small stature. But there's also another one that I perked my ears up. It said he was rich. Okay? Now, I can identify with the short stature compared to other people. But rich, I've never been able to identify as rich. I wish, like the world says, if I just identify as something, I could have it. I wish I could identify my bank account full. I really do this morning. I wish I could identify as rich and it would actually be happening. Amen? But that ain't the way it works, is it? This man's true identity was he was rich. I mean, in worldly goods, do you know what he's convicted of first and foremost? Of how he got it. His change comes right off. Jesus moves into the house, and look what he says. It says, and Zacchaeus stood. Now, up to now, Jesus is leading everything, but they get to Zacchaeus' house. Now Zacchaeus is saved, and now Zacchaeus says something. He stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He said, listen, I don't need all this. There's a bunch of people hurting. You know, when people get saved, it changes their heart. It tunes them in to really what's important in eternity. It changes their wants and their needs. It tunes them into what God wants them to do. And he says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Look at what he says next. This change keeps on going. He says, I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Listen, I don't know how many people he had defrauded, but evidently he said, listen, if there's anybody that I've ever taken anything from, God, I'm not just going to give them what I took. I'm going to give them back with interest on any money that I've taken. You know, that's what happens when Jesus comes in. Jesus comes in and he begins to help us. You know, a lot of people will try to get saved by turning over a new leaf. You can't turn over a new leaf without Jesus in your life. You got to be changed from the inside out. And listen, I guarantee you that Zacchaeus, by the time he got down out of the tree and by the time he got to his house, didn't look a whole lot different from the outside. He might have had a little sycamore bark on the outside of his parka, but he didn't have too much. He may have still had a sycamore leaf still up in his beard a little bit, but he hadn't changed the outside of his look. What was changing was the inside. His wants and desires and his love for what the Lord loved. Listen, you know, when Jesus comes in, all of a sudden, I started loving what Jesus loves, where I didn't have a love for that before. Look on with him what he says, and now Jesus has turned to speak. Zacchaeus stood up. Now it's Jesus' turn to speak. Jesus sees what he says. Now you got a conversion that happens. He receives him. Then we get a change that happens in his life. And now Jesus is going to confirm that Zacchaeus is in the faith. He says in verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I told you this morning that Jesus is on the property. We've been praying that the Holy Spirit of God would fill this place in his presence. And I hope when you came here today that you would say, there's something different about this church. All right, now there's a lot of churches. Okay, I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, this is the only place that anybody can get saved, but this is a place that desperately has prayed that you would come today and receive Jesus Christ. It's a place that has prayed through the night for 3 days, that not just so that we would have a big day, but so that this day would make a difference in your life. Because the same Jesus that we serve, listen, I remember the day, it wasn't anniversary Sunday, but it was a big day in my life. It's an anniversary that I have marked down. March 23rd, 1989 was the day that I got saved. Changed my life. It was close to midnight of that day. I walked an old-fashioned aisle. I remember when the invitation came, I thought everybody might be like you. I mean, I thought people that brought me to church, they thought I'm probably saved. This is the son of a deacon. He must be saved. My wife, I liked her. You know what that means? We were going steady. Back then, it was, you know how I asked her, you want to go with me? We had nowhere to go. I just wanted to go with her. But that night, I sat in the pew, and I thought to myself, what's her dad going to think if I get saved tonight? It could mess up my relationship. Listen, I started thinking about all these things that could change in my life if I got saved. And I began to, standing, and the song played, and I gripped the pew tighter and tighter. And then an overwhelming thing happened inside my life. I heard Jesus say again, Barry, come down from all this. Let me receive you into myself. You know, in John 14:6, the most comforting thing, when we have memorials or funerals, I read, you know, you believe in God, believe also in me. You see, I knew about God and I knew about Jesus, but I had never received him as my Savior. And you may have come to this place today and you may be very religious and you may have know all about God, but you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior. You'd have been just like me. I was lost and I realized that day that I was going to go to hell because I had not received Jesus, because he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. You're not getting baptized into heaven. You're not going to do enough works to get into heaven. You can't take the Lord's Supper enough to go to heaven. All that stuff is things that you do after you get saved. You can't do them to be saved. And that night, I remember gripping the pew, and finally, I thought, all these people that are, they're gonna be against me, or they're gonna be mad with me if I get saved. And I said, I remember my thought, my last thought was, I'm not gonna go to hell for anybody. They don't have to get over it. And I walked out and I came down the aisle and I got saved that night. Do you know what? My father-in-law, who's my father-in-law now, he was so glad that I got it settled. You know what my preacher said when I came and I thought he was going to be, I thought you were saved. I've asked you to do this and that. I thought he was going to, he said, man, I'm so glad you got it settled. What would heaven have been like without you? Hey, I'm going to tell you, can you imagine that day, what it felt like for Zacchaeus to receive Jesus as his Savior? The whole crowd, all these people pressing on him. And Jesus singled him out and said, Zacchaeus, you come down. You know what my heart's desire was? I prayed last night that today, if you're here and you're not saved, that today that you would hear the voice of God call your name and say, come down. Let me receive you unto myself. That way you can be in heaven where I am also. Hey, you believe in God. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. You believe in the Bible, and the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise from God that if you put your faith and trust in the name of Jesus and his finished work of Calvary, that you will be saved. You can do that today. You say, well, what do all these people think? All these people already did that. The ones that you think they're going to look at you and they'd be like that, they're not. You know, this crowd that said, oh, Jesus is going to eat with the sinner. Can I tell you, I've already told you my story. But time would not allow us to take time and take the microphone around to the people that sit around you that would say, one night I got saved. And I held the pew and I gripped it and I didn't want to get saved. But then Jesus called my name and I came down. You're not in a place of people that are going to look down. They're going to get excited when you walk the aisle and get saved. They've been praying for you. They've been begging God for him to call your name and for you to respond and receive him this morning. And so today, just like Zacchaeus, why don't you get saved? You could go home today and read this verse and claim it as your own and say in verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day his salvation come to this house. For as much as he is also the son of Abraham. Listen, I don't know about you, but the Bible calls it being born again. Salvation is being born again into God's family. This church, you say, something's different about this place. This is the family of God. We're not all brothers and sisters through blood. Well, through Jesus' blood we are. It's what covered our sins and paid our sin debt. Amen. Today you can enter into that. You can be born again. You can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ if you just trust him today. I hope that you will. I hope you won't leave this place with God calling your name and you to say, I'm going to stay in the tree. I'm not going to come down. I will not be saved. Don't do that. You accept Jesus Christ. You say, I'll do it tomorrow. Are you guaranteed tomorrow? None of us are. You know, Jesus is coming quickly. He says that in Scripture. We look all around and we see the turmoil in this world and we realize that Jesus will come. And it could be today. I'm not a used car salesman, but I'll tell you this. I really believe that this could be your last opportunity to hear God call your name and say, come down, receive Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved and Jesus is calling my name. I know that he spoke to my heart. I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip it up? Would you hold it up? I see that hand. Is there another? I see those hands. There's others. Would you look up if you're raising your hand? If you didn't raise your hand, but you'd like to be saved, would you look up at me right now? I want you to come forward. Come down to the front, just like Zacchaeus did, and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're an altar worker, will you come on? Step out and come. Yes, ma'am. You young kids, you adults that raised your hand, you step out and come. We're going to need your help. You step out and come if you slipped your hand up. You step out and come. At this time, we need you to come. If you need to be saved, would you step out and come? Folks are going to meet you here in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. You said, preacher, would you hold it up again? Preacher, I need to be saved. Pray for me. I want to pray for you at least, even if you're not willing to step out and accept Christ. You say, pray for my soul. I'm not saved. Would you slip it up where I can see it so I can pray for you? Folks have come. You can come and be saved. I saw a few more hands. Would you step out and come this morning if you need to be saved? As we stand to our feet, Brother Bert's about to sing. If you need to be saved this morning, then step out and come. I'll meet you right here in the front, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Brother Bert.